Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Time for 49ers Rush Podcast. And here's your host, John Chapman.
What is going on, 49ers faithful? It is another great day as we are so close, to the NFL season. Some teams have already reported, the Hall of Fame teams and some new coaches teams. But man, the 49ers report Tuesday. And man, it's close. We got a new signing for the 49ers. And today is going to be a little bit of a different episode because we have the man, Brian from Legit Football here. Brian, how are you?
John, I'm great as always. Like you said, so close to actual NFL football. We do so much talking in the offseason and breaking down analysis that it's almost like we forget, oh yeah, there's football we get to talk about, and it's just right around the corner.
So close. There's news trickling in, which is so awesome from different franchises and all kinds of different stuff. But on top of that, what we're going to do today, we wanted to take a minute to just step back and allow you to control the show. Anything 49ers, NFL, fantasy football related. We've already got a whole bunch of questions on Twitter from people that put those out. Shout out to Dan, one of the best people ever. Dan Case, amazing educator, the youths. He got in a whole bunch of questions, which is awesome. He's the executive producer of this show, by the way, today. So we're going to be breaking that down. I am so excited about this show. I love Q&A episodes. I don't do them often because I'm such a control freak. But if you guys have questions in the chat, make sure you tag me. We do not have the executive producer Clayton with us today monitoring the chat, so I'm going to be doing kind of double duty. So please tag me in the chat if you want to make sure that your question gets answered. Also, I should probably throw this out there for YouTube. We opened up our memberships to try to help people kind of, you know, support the show, one, but get your attention a little bit more on the questions that you want to ask if you want to support the show. I think it's a fun way to build a community. I held off on it for a little while, but as the season gets going, I think it's time. So without further ado, Brian, do you have a question that you want to jump in on, or should we just scroll through Twitter until we get some of these questions, just go one by one?
I think we should start with Twitter since we asked them. Like, they were the ones who jumped on and asked the questions first. I already see a few questions in the chat. I'm going to help you, John, monitor the chat too, since we have no Clayton today. But yeah, I would say Twitter's our best bet. Let's start there.
All right, let's go there. Let's go to the man, Dan, with the plan here. And this one's, you know, much more 49er-centric for sure. As we try to zoom in, why did the 49ers sign another D lineman who is on notice now? So if you missed it, the 49ers signed Robert Kendiche, former first rounder of Arizona. He's actually played for Arizona and he's played for Seattle.
He's now almost completing the NFC West turn here.
He's close.
He's got to go to the Rams next.
Yeah, he is close. So that it's interesting. So from an outside perspective, Brian, the 49ers have, if not the deepest defensive line or best defensive line, it's up there.
Right.
Why do you think they keep stockpiling more defensive linemen?
Well, I definitely think it's one of the hallmarks of this defensive line is not just the talent they have, but the depth they have. They like to rotate and keep those pass rushers fresh, especially the kind of the more deeper guys like Bosa. They want to keep out there as much as possible. But anything they can do to keep that talent fresh. You got, you know, a talented rookie in Drake Jackson. We don't know what kind of production, what kind of time off he's going to need. Like some of these guys, they give so much that they need a few plays off. So having a guy who, at least from a talent perspective, like Kendiche, could get in there and give you some production. The thing with Kendiche is there's a reason he's on his third different NFC West team.
He's got some issues.
He's got talent, has never been questioned, but like he had this thing where he like fell out of a window and injured himself in the past. But hey, it's for the price they got him on. I like the signing, especially as a depth pick, but that's what this is all about. It's all about just adding an additional possible contributor that could rotate on that talented defensive line.
Yeah, I think so too. And like, I'll be honest, guys, I don't think Kim Dichie's going to make this roster. I think the only way that he does is if injuries happen or something along those lines. It's an extra pass rushing specialist from the inside. I think that's kind of like the name of his game. He's not necessarily an edge player, right. But the 49ers love these guys, and that's kind of where they go from. And so I'm not too worried. I don't think he really puts anybody on notice. I don't think not. That's what it is at all.
It could just be a camp body at the end of the day. I mean, if you get a chance to bring in a former first round pick, just to see what you have in camp, knowing that you can just cut him if it doesn't work out, there's not a lot of risk involved for the Niners.
Exactly. All right, here we go. We got a question in the chat. What's up, Steven? He says, John, where do you broadcast from? Man, I am in my office room. I wish I could like pan out and show you. I got a little, like, this is a tiny little, it's not even really an office room in my house. It's tiny, tiny. But it works for me. And so, like, you know, this, before we bought this house when COVID happened, I don't know if y'all remember, if you've been around this show for, this is year six, I would have to tear down everything that I had. I recorded, no joke, I'm not even exaggerating, out of my wife's underwear drawer. I would set my computer and my camera literally in our dresser in our bedroom. I put this, this backdrop up in front of our bed. Like, it was a mess. It was a 25-minute thing to record every time. And so we had to get out of that tiny apartment to get some stuff done. So, that's that question there. Oh, we got this one. This one's for you for sure. From Local Monkey Sports, thoughts on Jerry Jeudy. Is he a sleeper pick? So we got some fantasy questions here. Jerry Jeudy, who a lot of people, 49ers, had a chance to get, chose not to, went Kinlaw instead. What are your thoughts on Jerry Jeudy?
Quick shout out to Loco. I actually wrote this question down in case we missed it, so I'm glad that you caught it.
Thank you, Loco.
Thanks for the question, Loco. I don't know that he's a sleeper at this point. There's actually been a lot of hype. Specifically, the fact that Russell Wilson's there, right? There's hype around Cortland Sutton. There's hype around a lot of these Denver pass catchers, but I think Jeudy more than any of them. I've seen multiple articles of fantasy and analysts pegging him as a breakout. So I don't think you can call it a sleeper if it's like, well, everybody's kind of on to the Jeudy train. Actually, you know, Loco, I think you've toned into 30 Minutes of Football a handful of times, and he has been brought up specifically the last two episodes where we've talked about these Denver pass catchers, and both episodes, both the guests that I had on and myself agree that Jeudy, of all of those pass catchers, is the one that if you could only target one, he's the one. He's got amazing route running ability. He, I believe, led the league in separation per route last year. He just had Drew Lock throwing to him. So massive upgrade. As long as he can stay healthy, as long as he had a little bit of an issue with drops his rookie season, if he doesn't have that issue, he's going to get open. Wilson's going to get him the ball. They're playing in a division where they're going to have to air it out to keep up. I'm a believer in Jeudy. I think he's going to produce, but I wouldn't call him a sleeper.
Yeah, I feel you there. I'm team Cortland Sutton, big time. I think Judy's great. I'm in a dynasty league. I'm going to throw some shade here on my home dynasty league. Last year before the season, probably my best friend, shout out host Chuck B. You guys don't know Charles. He does the draft with us and all that stuff. He traded Deebo Samuel and a second rounder to get Jeudy. Like, he believed in Jeudy. And then Deebo goes and does what he does. I mean, he totally got fleeced in that deal, but that's okay.
I'm going to call out my dynasty league.
Oh, I love this. I love this.
These are the best. I traded away Antonio Gibson. This was like week one or two. And in return, I got Cooper Kupp and some like depth player who didn't end up playing. Who in this would not have taken Cooper Kupp in week two for Antonio Gibson? I was in the championship game. Let's just say that. And I had Deebo. I traded a lot for Deebo though. But so I had Cooper Kupp and Deebo. They're both on my dynasty league. I'm super excited for the 2022 season for that in particular.
Very nice. Very nice. All right, let's jump back to Twitter. This one comes from at Huey Percy. I like it. Out of all the old linemen fighting for spots on the 53-man roster, 49ers-centric question, who are the most natural fits for the 49ers scheme from an athletic standpoint? Who mainly needs to be coached up on technique and stuff to excel? So this is a problem. This is a major critique of mine of the 49ers. they don't draft natural fits. They move people out of position. So if you look at Spencer Burford, he played tackle his whole career. He's going to be a guard or center for us. Nick Sekil played tackle his whole career. He's going to be a guard or center for us. Now, if you go to the undrafted players, Donovan West, probably the clearest athletic fit at center. Will he get that role as an undrafted free agent rookie? I don't think so. So he's something that's going to develop long term. The 49ers are notorious for this. Colton McKivitz played left tackle always in college. They moved him to right guard, right tackle, left tackle, all these places. Daniel Brunskill, same thing. Like, the versatility and offensive linemen don't really fit. But if you're asking me, Aaron Banks, 100%, the one exception to this rule, he is a pure left guard. Played left guard his entire career at Notre Dame. They tried to move him to right guard as a rookie. Didn't work. Moved him back to left guard. So I would say Trent Williams, pure left tackle, perfect fit. Aaron Banks, left guard, perfect fit. Donovan West would be the best fit at center. Right guard.
Did you know that you can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks? You can turn $10 into $1,000 with basketball, hockey, college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. And here's what's great. You can get action on sports on more than 30 different states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. On top of that, you got playoff basketball actions on the horizon, and this is the best place to take advantage of all of basketball's postseason actions. Some of these player props: Nikolai Jokic for over 10 rebounds, Anthony Davis more than 2 blocks, Lillard, 4 three-pointers made. You get to pick exactly how you want to use your bets. So, download the app today. Use code 49ers49ERS for a deposit match up to $100. Again, that's promo code 49ers for a first deposit match up to $100 over on Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's not one. I'm just going to be honest. Right tackle, Mike McGlinchey. So if you're talking about just natural fits for the position, we don't have one for right guard. Brunskill's good. I ain't worried about him. But I don't think that there is one that fits outside of those guys that I mentioned. So I'd go with that there. Any thoughts there, Brian?
I defer to you on the depth of the offensive line for the San Francisco 49ers. I can give the overall NFL angle, but yeah, that's why I was silent. I'm like, I'm gonna let John handle this one.
Yeah, no worries, no worries. Real quick question just on the scheduling. John, are you gonna be at week 7 game for the Chiefs? Maybe. Mrs. Chapman has been so kind to share me with the people. I mean, we're doing 10 trips this year. You know, I'm going to Canton with Brian, where we're going to be doing, you know, draft night out. If you haven't got your tickets to draft night out, you got to go check it out. We are drafting inside the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Inside.
Yeah.
We're going to have so many fantasy drafts going at the same time. I'm in charge of prizes, so you know those are going to be good. I got a freaking authentic Warren Moon, the old freaking blue Texans or Oilers logo, jersey autographed, going to be giving away lots of things. It's going to be a blast. So I've got that. I've got all the rush road trips. I've got the draft party. I'm going to try to make it to at least one or two home games, but I don't know which ones. The Chiefs would be at the top of the list, but that's going to be,
if you can make Dolphins. Got it. Yeah, I'll be there. So,
okay.
Throwing that
See,
one out
I want to go to all of them. There's no doubt about it. You know, I live in Pasadena, so it's not the easiest thing. It's not so much the flights or whatever. It's just the time from the family. You know, my son's, you know, freshman football, first time playing padded football. I don't want to miss too many of his games. So there's like, it's rough. This balance of, you know, family and work and all that stuff, it's hard, but I'm going to try. So I'm going to have to kind of leave it there if that's cool. All right, let's jump back to another Twitter question. Back to Dan. This one's fun. This is a fantasy keeper. So if you're not familiar with this process, it's not regular redraft fantasy, and it's not quite dynasty. Okay, so here we go. This is from Dan Case. He says, advice about a fantasy keeper. We make keepers your pick for whatever round they are averaging. So best value out of these. Last year he kept James Robinson. Here are his options. Okay, I'll read through these quick, and then Brian's going to take this one. Tyreek Hill, third round. Saquon Barkley, third round. Akers, fourth round. Etienne, fourth round. Kittle, fifth round. Chris Godwin, 9. Michael Thomas, 9. Adam Thielen, 10. Take it away, Brian.
Purely from a value standpoint, Chris Godwin stands out. Because, I mean, that's a guy who, when he's healthy, you can lock him up for 1,000 yards and 7-8 touchdowns or more. And that Bucs offense is going to be very pass heavy, as long as you've got Tom Brady there. And you've got so many other weapons that Godwin, it's one of the reasons why the Bucs receivers do so well, because you can't double him. You can't double Mike Evans. Godwin will get open. You can't double Godwin. Evans will get open. So round 9, I would put Godwin more in like the 5th to 6th round conversation. You could argue with Kittle a little bit. It depends on your strategy when it comes to tight end. Spending a round 5 on Kittle, I could see him going late 3rd or 4th. Michael Thomas, I don't want to dedicate any time to. Thielen probably will actually get more points than round 10. That could be value. If you scroll back to the top, John, just to kind of, we'll go through each of these really quick. Tyreek Hill could be a steal, but round 3, there's just so much uncertainty. Is McDaniel going to go run heavy with that new Dolphins offense? Saquon, I think, is the opposite direction, personally. I'm not high on Saquon at all. Cam, I think, is probably good round 4. ETN could certainly produce and produce above that, but the most obvious one, I'm going to say, is Chris Godwin.
Okay, good. Yeah, it's funny. Whenever I looked at this, you know, anytime I'm looking at keepers, I go to the very end every time. I want the latest of the picks because, again, you have to look at this from a standpoint of opportunity cost, right? So, you know, if you're like, okay, Saquon Barkley at 3, that's great, but you're losing a third round pick. Mm-hmm. So I would prefer Adam Thielen and whoever you would get in the 3rd round. That is kind of the way that I would look at it personally.
Yeah.
That's kind of the way that I would address that question. But yeah, that's a good question. Keepers are always fun.
Provides that's why I weighted the value that way. That's why I like the value of getting somebody like Godwin 9 or Thielen at 10 is much more than getting Tyreek Hill at 3, even if he produces better than a third rounder. Yeah, I like that strategy.
Yeah, there we go. There we go. All right, here we go. We got another fun question here. Let's see here. From Big Papa, he says, John, do you know all these training camp dates? Yes, the 49ers did release this. I'm trying to find a graphic. I want to make sure I got the right one pulled up. Yep, here we go. For the training camp, I'm going to try my hardest to get to one of these, some of these for sure. But again, I got to be smart. A very similar question, you know, back to just making sure the family's good and things like that. So I'll list these out just audibly so that you guys can kind of hear the answers to that. So these are the open dates for the 49ers training camp dates. July 27th, 28th, 30th, August 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 5th, 6th. August 7th, that's a Sunday, Dwight Clark Day. So if you get to pick one of these days, August 7th is the day you want to go to, 9th and 10th. So there's a lot of options from the 27th all the way to the 10th. You got that two-week window. If you've never done this and you want your kids to really, really, like, buy into the 49ers, guys, girls, doesn't matter, this is a great way to do it. Get them around the players, and trust me, it's going to build – that, you know, they're going to get into it. So if you're one of those dads or moms that really wants your kids to be into the 49ers, trust me, it's not expensive. Take a day, take them out there, let them see what it's about. They'll love it. I promise you that. Brian, you ever been to any of the training camps or seen any of that stuff?
I have not, and it's a shame that I haven't. And you know what? I live about 15 minutes from Levi Stadium. Maybe I'll go this year. But it's
there
one of those,
we go.
Yeah, it's one of those things that I guess has always been on my radar. And now that I'm covering the NFL full time, it's probably something I should go ahead and do.
Man, what if we ask Brian to go be our eyes and ears since he's local and bring us back a report, a camp report.
Tidbits. Let's do that. I'll do that. I'll be the camp reporter for the 49ers Rush podcast. Let's go.
I like it. I like it. All right, here we go. Shot J, the man, the myth, the legend. Love this dude, man. He is awesome. Appreciate you, Shot J, all you do. He says, assuming Trey is as good as we believe, talk about Trey Lance. How many games do you think until we see Trey demonstrate his ability to put team on his shoulders when things don't go smooth? Ah, I'm going to defer here. I want to hear what Brian thinks as an quote-unquote outsider. What are your thoughts on this? When can Trey be the guy? You know, Move the Sticks podcast, Daniel Jeremiah, Bucky Brooks. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite conversations that they usually have is quarterbacks are either trucks or trailers. The trucks drive the team. The trailers get pulled by the good team. I think everybody would kind of argue Jimmy Garoppolo was a trailer, right? Mm-hmm. He was pulled with the good team. That's not an insult. Being a trailer is not an insult. The hope is Trey can be a truck. Do you see that taking place this year, in a second year in the NFL?
I will say this. You can turn into a truck. Generally, it doesn't happen that quickly. We've been spoiled a little bit by a Mahomes, by a Burrow, by a Herbert, by guys who have come in and almost on day one beat trucks, but that's actually not the case. I like to point back to Drew Brees is a fantastic example of this. This is a guy who a lot of people don't remember. He actually started for the Chargers. That's where he was drafted. He played there for a number of years, was a very solid quarterback, but nobody would say that he's a truck. Nobody would say that he was pulling that Chargers team along. Injured his shoulder, almost signed with the Dolphins, goes to New Orleans, and he's now one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL, and he was, by all means, the driver of that Peyton offense for a decade. Right. So my point is, can he be that? Yes, but I would guard your expectations. And if he isn't the truck this year, that doesn't mean he doesn't have the capability to get there. You have a good enough squad that you don't have to have him be the truck. He doesn't need to drag the Niners. The rest of the squad is good. You've got one of the best offensive play callers in Shanahan. You've got a very solid run scheme, a solid offensive line, great playmakers, Kittle, Debo, and a very, very good defense. You don't need him to do too much. You just need him to drive the line of trucks, right? And then if it gets to a point in the future where some of the other trucks start to pull behind, hopefully Lance certainly has the talent. Hopefully he has the leadership ability to drive. But this year, just be glad that he knows how to drive.
And the crazy thing, he's 22.
Yeah.
Right? He's 22 years old. I think that it's going to come because he has the ability.
Right.
But patience is key. Real quick follow-up question from Mark. What's up, Mark? He says, how do you get tickets for training camp? Yeah, 49ers.com/camp, C-A-M-P. So 49ers.com/camp. I think they're like $15 or something like that. And it all goes to the Dwight Clark Raise Awareness for ALS, I believe, off the top of my head. It's 49ers.com/camp. They do sell out. So if you're one of those people that's like, oh, yeah, I probably need to look in this, don't wait, guys. There's way too much excitement around the 49ers this season. 49ers.com/camp. Obviously, I don't get paid for this. We want the experience for you, right? That's the whole idea of this podcast. Increase education and fan experience for 49ers fans. That's what we got. Here we go. Another question from Steven. What's up, Steven? I like that hat, man. Family looks awesome. Incredible. He says, John, weird question. Who on the team would be even more dominant if they played either side of the ball? I love this question. I do this as coaches. We used to do this all the time, right? Because you'd set your guys and, you know, you'd have your DNs or you had your running backs. Everybody in high school always wanted to play running back and wide receiver. But we would always have these questions. Be like, look, dude, you're the number four running back. You could be the number one DN. You could be the number one corner. You could be the number one running back. And you'd have kids like, nope, coach, not going to do it. Like, they're high schoolers. It would happen. But a lot of the better players that we would get, and some kids even got scholarships to play D1 ball because we switched their position. So I love this question, Steven. I feel Kinlaw would be a monster on the O-line as well. Yeah, Trent Williams could play any D-line spot.
Yep.
I'm going to say Jason Poe. I believe Jason Poe needs to play defense. I have been adamant on that, the undrafted free agent out of Mercer. I want him as a defensive tackle. That would be my number one thing. I want him to be a defensive tackle. Now, Brian, is there anybody in the NFL, could be with the 49ers, that you would like to switch offense to defense or defense to offense? You know, some of those superstars that you think could kind of go both ways. We used to see that back in the day with Deion, a couple other players, but anybody come to mind?
I'll answer two questions. One, I'm going to stick with the Niners because it was the first guy who came to mind. Not that he would be more dominant because he's already dominant. But if you needed Kittle to rush the passer, like I feel like he would freaking get to the quarterback. He's got the size. He understands blocking schemes. He's, you know, one of the better blocking tight ends in the league. I just feel like he would be, and he's so relentless, right? He's so relentless, and I think he could get to the quarterback. If we're talking about other players, I'd like to see Jalen Ramsey be like a 50-50 wide receiver, like just go up and muscle out defensive backs. And kind of make, I see him as a great red zone target, kind of an AJ Green style in his prime. Could absolutely see Ramsey would be fun to watch. He's already fun to watch as a defensive back, but I would be fun to watch him as a wide receiver as well.
There we go. There we go. All right. This one's a fun one. Not really a question, but I think we got to talk about it.
Yeah.
Kyler got paid. He got paid a lot. Second highest paid quarterback. Talk us through this, Brian.
So he edged out in total money the Deshaun deal. Guaranteed was less, but the guarantee for Deshaun was insane. They fully guaranteed his contract. But if you look at the annual average, I think it was like 100,000 more, 0.1 or whatever. Yeah. But yeah, so Kyler edged him out behind only, I believe, Mahomes as far as total quarterback compensation. Here's my thing with this. Kyler's got the talent. But he hasn't done anything yet. But at the same time, what's your alternative? You know, what happens if you don't pay this guy?
Yeah, they had to.
Clearly has the talent level, at least, to be a top five quarterback in the league. That's not easy to do. You can't train a Mitch Trubisky to be the you know, you can't hope to develop him. Josh Allen, that's actually not normal for him to come in the league, be such a bad passer, and then all of a sudden develop into a superstar. So if you've already got a guy who has the talent to be a superstar, maybe it's coaching. Maybe it's, you know, I've said, I think on this show that I'm not a Kingsbury fan. I saw a statistic.
Nobody is.
It might have been you who posted this, John. Somebody posted a statistic about, even back to his Texas Tech days, Kingsbury's win-loss record for the first half of the season versus the second half. It's insane. His losing percentage is like 65-70%. Back to his Texas Tech days, this is a guy, this is not like a fluke. This is a pattern. So that has to affect the rest of your team. That has to affect your players. That has to affect your quarterback. I'd like to see Kyler with a different coach. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. We've seen what he can do when he's at his best, when he's healthy. He is a truck. We have seen him be a truck.
Yeah, he can be.
Is he a leader? We've had that discussion. I don't know.
Is he a truck for the entire season?
Yeah,
right?
Is he a truck for long term? Is he a truck when you need him to be a truck? That's a question. But what alternative did the Cardinals have? I don't see one.
No, you had to sign him. You had to draft him number one, too. Like, as a 49ers fan, zero. Like, I'm not upset. I'm not frustrated. I'm not like, oh, darn. Like, no. Cool. I'm glad. I hope you pay him. I hope Kingsbury's there forever because no fear. And they played well against the 49ers. They really, really have. I think we're 3-3 since they've showed up. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I'm good. I'm good there. All right, here we go. Kali, he says, I believe Kinlaw is the X factor for the defensive line. Who is the X factor for you this season with the exception of Trey Lance? So I recorded my Jake Brendel breakdown this morning on our roster series. I think we're down to 19, done 70 of them. We got 19 more to go. Jake Brendel, 100%. If somebody was to ask me, right, time machine, they come back in the DeLorean. John Chapman, why did the 49ers not make the playoffs in 2022? Interior offensive line didn't pan out. The center position didn't pan out. That would be my X factor. If you can just get adequate play from that center position this year, I think things are going to go well. So, that would be my X factor there. Let's jump to another one. Here we go.
I got an X factor.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't get to answer an X factor. So yeah. There's a glaring weakness, or there has been, certainly last season, on that defense for the 49ers, and that's secondary. So I'm going to go ahead and put Charvarius Ward as the X factor, because if you've already got one of the best pass rushers in the league, you've already got one of, if not the best linebackers in the league, if you can upgrade that secondary too, man, that team is just going to be tough to stop. So I'm with John on the interior offensive line, and I would also peg the secondary. If those two things come together, Super Bowl or bust for you guys.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. We're winning the Super Bowl in 2023. I'm just telling you that now. This year, don't have them projected. Next year, they're winning the Super Bowl. Steven, he says, who would you take with the first pick in the fantasy draft? Oh, man, that's Jonathan Taylor for me. Personally, any arguments there? Is there anybody even close?
No, I actually was asked this question. We had a fantasy guy on for our last 30 minutes of football on Tuesday, and he's leaning CMC. I don't because of his injury uncertainty, but he seems to be a little bit more confident that the injuries he's suffered have not been substantive. They've been kind of like bad luck injuries. But I'm with you. I'm going Jonathan Taylor. To me, that guy was absolutely dominant from a touchdown perspective. Catches out of the backfield. Great for PPR leagues. Yeah, Jonathan Taylor all the way. Depending like on, now let's be clear, if it's a super flex and all that, the quarterback comes into consideration, but just your standard one quarterback league, Jonathan Taylor.
Yep, I like it. Oh, Dan Case, man, he's on Twitter, he's in the chat, he's everywhere. What's up, Dan? He says, which NFC and AFC teams have the best chance to make the playoffs after missing them last year? Oh, I'm going Chargers. I'm going Chargers.
Chargers AFC, absolutely. I actually have, and I think we might both have them going to the AFC Championship game. So not only do they make the playoffs, we have them going far. I would put them in the top 4 to 5 for Super Bowl victory chances. Even I had them losing to the Bills. But yes, absolutely the Chargers in the AFC. On the NFC side of the ball.
I'll let you go first.
First one that comes to mind is Minnesota.
Minnesota and the Saints; those are the two for me. But I think Saints.
High in the Saints. I just love
that division. They got four games against Carolina and the Falcons, and that
That does come into play. I think the Falcons will be a little bit better with Mayfield. I'm not saying they're a contender. The Panthers, and I've mentioned multiple times, for whatever reason, I'm higher on the Falcons than the majority of people. I'm not a Jameis believer, and I'm really curious how that offense is going to function without Sean Payton running the show, calling the plays. Dennis Allen, fantastic defensive coordinator, didn't have a great stint with his only head coaching position with the Raiders. He's got another shot now. Obviously, he's been with that organization. The players know him, but how does he do running this team, especially calling the offensive plays? He's not, but you know, without Payton being the one, that's my concern. But the Vikings, man, they've got the talent level. They were in an insane amount of, like, one score, like 3 point or less last second games last year.
I like
year.
That roster. I really do.
Yeah. Same.
I really do.
Both sides of the ball, especially offensive playmakers, if Cook stays healthy. You already have Justin Jefferson, who he claims he could be the top receiver in the league at the end of this year. He was quoted as saying that.
I don't want to doubt him. He's that damn good.
Yeah. Irv Smith takes a jump. Cousins is not the worst quarterback in the NFL. You know, we get lots of Cousins hates out there, but there's a lot to like about Minnesota. Also, you got the Bears and the Lions. If we're talking about divisional teams,
you and your Lions talk.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying like that as far as as far as opponents. Now, I'm not calling the Lions or the Bears.
Bears
playoff
are bad.
Teams. I think I have the Bears as 31st or 30th in my power rankings. I'm saying, but you get to play Chicago and Detroit twice here. Even though I'm high on Detroit better than last year, I still think the Vikings are a much better football team. Rodgers loses Davante Adams. I think the path for the Vikings to make it in is certainly clearer than it was last season.
I like it. All right, Eric, I'm going to try to speed it up a little bit because there's a lot of questions in the chat. I want to try to get to as many as we can. Eric says this, and this goes to you, Brian. With DeAndre Hopkins being suspended for 6 games, where would you draft him in your fantasy, if at all?
So I'm glad this came up. I wrote this down, and I did a little bit of research in the middle of the show so I can have some data here. So he is currently, his ADP is around 96. So that's right around the eighth round, say the end of the eighth round. Meaning, and here, 6 games, you're usually playing 13 or 14 games more than that if you make the playoffs. What a title winner this guy could be. How much does that Arizona offense rely on Hopkins? How much does Kyler Murray, with that new contract, target Hopkins? This is a guy that if you get him in this sixth or seventh, I wouldn't hate you for going in the fifth round. At that point, there's a little bit less certainty anyway. You're taking a flyer on, you know, wide receiver two, some rookies. So taking a flyer on a guy who for many years has been one of the most dominant wide receivers in the NFL, I would say, you know, round 5 to 7, if you can get him ahead of that ADP of eighth round, that's where I'm going to be targeting him in my redraft leagues. This is a guy who could absolutely be a league winner come fantasy playoff time.
I got him in a dynasty league, and you know, I'm just parking him on the bench, and I'm getting like some disrespectful trade offers, and I'm just like, no, this dude's a top 10 wide receiver whenever he's on the field. I'm not moving him unless you're paying for it. And anyway,
and the next volume question he gets, just the amount of it's not even just his talent, he gets so much opportunity in Arizona.
I like it. David, He says this: how quickly do you see Lance getting up to speed for our offense? Will Shanahan be simplifying the offense early in the season? Nope. That is not Shanahan's style. He's throwing the whole damn playbook at him. That's a big reason why they redshirt all these rookies, right? The shirt, I think it's in the description of this video if you look at our merch page on YouTube. The 49ers drafted me, and all I got was this red shirt. That's the reality. I think I got a picture. I should show a picture, right? I'm very proud of this shirt. It makes me very happy. But the whole idea is, there we go.
Beautiful.
He waits. And then once they get their chance, it's time to go. He's not dumbing down anything. It's going to be the full offense. So the good news is, week one, the Bears. Week two, Seattle Seahawks. So it's time to hit that dang ground running. That's all I got to say. So I don't think it's going to take too much time. Bobo, appreciate the gift, my friend. He says, Kyler contract means they're going to suck for a while. Yeah, I'm with you there too, man. As long as we can keep Kyler Murray, he's good. He's a good quarterback. But as long as Kingsbury and Murray are there, not concerned in the least. Same. I think their best year was last year. They're not going to do that again this year. Brian, here we go, from Mike Chilton. He says, is Kelsey still tight end one, or did all the wide receiver movement change the rankings?
I also wrote this question down, so glad that you got it. John, on top of his game, I don't even need
I'm
to be
scrolling,
checking
baby. I'm John's scrolling.
I'm actually personally, I have Kelsey at tight end two, and it's not because of the wide receiver movement, because, I mean, with Tyreek gone, Kelsey's volume could go up. But I just, he's 33 years old. He's at such a physical position. To me, I'm not willing to have him be the first tight end drafted, considering he showed a little bit of signs of slowing down last season. He picked it up for the playoffs when it mattered, but that concerns me. So I've actually got Mark Andrews as my number one overall tight end in redraft and kind of dynasty too. You can argue Kyle Pitts is kind of an argument there, but to me, Andrews, I mean, so much volume in Baltimore. Even if Rashad Bateman makes a jump this year, Andrews is going to get red zone targets. He's going to get peppered with targets from Lamar Jackson. And he's just so good. He's so reliable. Great after the catch. Great at blocking, too. So they're going to keep him in, three downs. So that's my answer. I still have tight end two, Kelsey. He could easily finish his tight end one. But I just really like Andrews' situation. I like what he did last season. And I like the arc that he's on, so I'm going to say Andrew tight end one.
I love it. All right, Steven says, John, if there's a way to meet you, man, that is my thing. All of the 49ers rush meetups. That's kind of what we're about, which, oh, man, I'm just going to say this. I'm just going to throw this out there real quick. If you haven't bought your 49ers rush road trip tickets yet, 49ersrushroadtrip.com, I strongly recommend you do so. We've got some big news. I'm not going to let it out today. We got a 49ers player coming to more than one of these events, and we're going to have to raise the prices just to pay for the players to get them out there so I don't go completely in debt. But I'm keeping the prices as is because I want to reward the people that believe in us and kind of early bird pricing. So anyway, I'm just throwing that out there. This is the last season you're going to be able to have this former player come out. He's boxing right now. I'll throw that out there.
Gave it away.
Frank Gore's coming out. I'm trying to get him. We've got him for one locked up. We're trying to get him for two of the games out there. But again, so what's going to happen is if you buy your ticket now, you get in and you get an autograph. Once we announce the cities that he's coming out to hang out with us, those prices have to go up, unfortunately, to pay for things. So if you want to bet on us and come with us, yeah, that's there. Head over there, 49ersrushroadtrip.com. We're going to be announcing that probably Monday. Probably Monday. And the prices will be going up, unfortunately, once that comes out. So head over there if you haven't yet. One, meeting people and hanging out. We do a pretty damn good job, I think, of building the community. You go travel by yourself. You don't have to because we got you. Trivia, T-shirts, live shows, autographs, former players. Gosh, man, one of my favorite things about this show. Here we go. Do you remember the Jim Tomsula fart? Yes, that first press conference when the head coach stepped in and he let one rip. He even did this little number, and sure enough, yes, I remember greatly. Here we go. Steven asked this. I'm curious if anybody jumps off for you here, Brian. Is there anyone the 49ers should trade for?
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting question because they don't have a lot of glaring needs. So there's not like an obvious like, oh, if they only had X, then they would be fine. You know, this is assuming Debo plays. If he doesn't, then yeah, they might want to trade for a wide receiver. I mean, at position wise, like I said, secondary. I mean, if you could upgrade that second cornerback position, I don't know that there's anyone in particular that's on the trading block. Does anyone come to mind for you that could be?
I want Gardner Minshew.
Oh, yeah.
And I've been saying it for 3 years. I want Gardner Minshew, man. I want that dude. I love Gardner Minshew.
You mentioned that on my show. You're all on the Gardner train. I'm with you there.
He's damn good. Best backup in the NFL. From Captain Insato, he shows no mercy. I need some updates on Watson from Cleveland. I originally thought a year for sure. Now it seems like it's going the other way. What's your guys' opinion? One, all this is conjecture.
Yeah.
It's up to Sue Robinson, I believe her name is off the top of my head.
Correct.
This is not an NFL decision currently. It's not. This is all conjecture. Anybody saying anything? All conjecture.
What Robinson does is make a recommendation, though. So it is up to the NFL. Goodell can appeal that. He can change that. I'll just jump in here, John, if that's all right, because we're just addressing this on Tuesday. I have been – a lot of what I've read had made it seem like a year. That's certainly what the NFL is pushing for, is a year. But the latest, as you guys have seen, is like it's – Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk mentioned two, maybe, which is insane.
Not a source for any NFL content whatsoever.
So I'm thinking the more I'm seeing this, and honestly, we could be way off. I don't even think anybody really knows. There's been so many different reports that have come out there, but now I'm starting to sink where my original instinct was 6 to 8 games. Before we heard about the year, before we heard about the additional accusers, before we heard about the NFL wants it indefinite, 6 to 8 games seemed like the kind of move that the NFL would do in this kind of a scenario. I would be shocked if it's less than that. I would not be shocked if it's more than that, because I know the NFL, with almost the stain that Watson has put on from a PR perspective on the NFL, I think that's why the NFL is seeking a longer one.
If you make the shield look dirty,
correct,
Goodell's going to make you pay as long as you're not an owner. As long as you're not an owner, then you can do whatever you want.
And that's one of the other things that's been reported, is apparently there in the personal conduct policy, there's specific language in there about how the owners will get treated more harshly. The NFL is arguing back that that's actually not relevant in this case. So a whole lot of information. It is complete conjecture. Yeah. We don't have insiders that are telling us this. If you forced me to make a thing right now, I would say 6 to 8 games. Would be shocked if it's less, would not be shocked if it ends up being the full year still.
I'm sticking with the full year, indefinite suspension. We'll see where that goes. Steven, he says, where's the love for special teams? Where are our strengths and weaknesses? Talking about the 49ers, it's the punter, Mitch Wisnowski, one of the worst punters in the NFL. I like Mitch. He's just very inconsistent. I think he had punts of 15 and 18 yards last year on some of the most like key pivotal games. Now he can boom it. But yeah, that's the biggest weakness. Robbie Gould never missed a field goal in the playoffs. We had addressed a lot of new coordinator, you brought in a lot of new talent there. Ray McLeod. There's lots of guys there. Punter, I really wish they would have changed that, but he's on a rookie deal. So that's what that is.
Hopefully you score a lot of touchdowns. You won't need to punt that much.
There you go. All right, here we go. This one's for you, Brian. Who gets more sacks, Joey Bosa or Mac? Is Nick Bosa in this too? I want you to rank all three. So most sacks, we'll Joey, Nick, and Mac.
Chargers question first. I definitely think it's going to be Joey over Mac. We can get into the Nick discussion in a second. I think as good as Mac is, I think what he's going to allow more than anything is you will not be able to double team Joey Bosa very often. Teams will still try, but Mac is still, he may not be at his peak, but he's not that far off his peak when he's healthy. So I think Mac is going to have his opportunities, but Bosa is in his prime. Joey is in his prime. Without that excessive amount of double teams, they upgraded the interior of the defensive line too. I think Bosa is going to end up finishing with more sacks than Mac. Now, between Nick as well, if I had to guess, and I'm not pandering, I would put Nick overall, as the top of these three, if we're throwing him into it. But not by much. I think Bosa is going to have a great year. Joey is going to have a great year. Both Bosas are going to have great years.
Yeah, they're amazing. They're amazing. All three of those players, unreal. Niner by Nature, what's up, man? I like the jacket in your picture. What are you going to be looking for in camp? My favorite thing to look for in camp is rotation. That's the first thing I look for. Running backs, I want to see that. What's the running back rotation? What's the safety rotation? Who's getting snaps in the slot? Who's running with first team, second team, third team? Who's the backup center? Is Daniel Brunskill getting snaps at center, right? Which one of the rookies are getting snaps at center? Where's Jason Poe? Lots of things. So camp is much less, you know, everybody wants to talk about completions. Oh, Trey Lance went 17 of 21 with two interceptions. And no. I get it, and those things are important, and I'll retweet a lot of that stuff. But no, that's not what I want to see. That's not what's important. I want to see the rotation for the personnel and see how that goes. I want to see how my injured players are progressing. I think those are kind of the things that I want to look for. So what about you, Brian?
Yeah, generally.
Time out real quick. Brian's going to be bringing us NFC watch for camp. He's going to be paying attention to all the other teams in the NFC West and bringing those to us on Thursdays for the next like 6 weeks. So
Yeah, John and I talked about that before we started recording today. So I'm like, I'll be the scout, the camp scout for the rest of your division. I'm going to be doing that for the whole NFL. Legit Football, one of the things we're going to be releasing in our dailies is you're going to see a whole lot of training camp info. So we're going to be covering the entire league, and that's going to include the NFC West. And I'm going to bring those nuggets to you guys here starting not next Thursday, but the Thursday after that. I lost my – where was the question?
What are you looking for in camp?
Yeah, so similar things. Obviously, I want to see how rookies are picking up the playbooks. I want to see how much usage they get, where they are. Are they getting first team snaps, second team? Injuries are big. You want to see, like, we just got the list of a number of the players who are starting camp on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform. How quickly are they able to incorporate? If a guy who's injured and there's been a lot of hype about him being ready in time misses all of camp, that's concerning. So you want to see how quickly those injured guys get on the field. Who's in certain position battles? I mean, that's pretty obvious. Certain positions that are not set in stone. Offensive line, John mentioned, interior offensive line. Who's actually getting the first team snaps versus second team snaps, and how does that progress? You might start somebody getting first team snaps, and all of a sudden you see a different guy in there because he's performing better. So it's more like the progression during the camp and who is proving themselves over time. The stats about, like he said, completions, it's better than him going 7 of 21, but it's not the thing that's really going to give you a lot of information. These are highly scripted practices. We've seen some amazing camps from players who end up being horrible in the regular season. I want to see those position battles. I want to see how injuries are healing, and I want to see how they're integrating the rookies that they drafted.
Oh, man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. This is a good episode. Brian?
I love the Q&As. That's a good
We almost got to everybody, and more questions came in at the end. We went a little bit longer, which is never a bad thing. But I think we might need to maybe incorporate this a little bit more in the future. Mm-hmm. But, man, Brian, I want to say thank you for your time. Excited. What can you tell us about your channel and where we can – you got another show coming up this week. When's your next show? Things like that.
Yep, so right now we're doing 30 Minutes of Football every Tuesday and Friday. It's live on YouTube at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. During the season, it's going to be 5 days a week. We're going to be going live five days a week. I'm going to have to get John on there because I'm going to need guests. I'm going to need people to fill in. John was on last week, so if you haven't seen that episode, make sure to do it. And I just told John before we started recording, he is in our intro. So one of his Gardner Minshew take is in our intro. So there you go. Some 49ers rush love in the 30 Minutes of Football show. But yeah, check it out tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We have Ty Schalter, who's a national NFL analyst. He's going to be my guest next week. And we've got some other guests line up. A really special guest in August that I'm excited about. And then as always, check out Legit Football, legitfootball.com. You want to know what's going on in the NFL, the rest of the NFC West, the training camp nuggets for your fantasy teams. It's free, legitfootball.com. Hit join, enter your email address. We're going to cover all that stuff all year long.
I love it. I love it. I love it. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us today. And as always, stay strong, faithful.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.